Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good Tuesday morning, Sports Map Radio, Tony D off, John Stashower in, Ron Culver in as well. Good to have you with us. Next couple of hours, lots to get to. We'll talk a little about Francisco Lindor, because two three-digit numbers come to mind right now with Francisco Lindor. One is 341. He's got a contract that's going to guarantee him $341 million. The other three-digit number is 163. That's his batting average, 163. He's 0 for his last 20. He's the reason the Mets just fired their hitting coach. So only the Mets. They have a history here of bad free agent signs. This one looked like a good one. I mean, you can't blame the Mets. Everybody gave them high marks. They went out and acquired Francisco Lindor. They signed him just before the season. They shelled out Steve Cohen, the new owner, backed up the truck. They gave him a big stack of money, and he's hitting 163. I'm sure that batting average is going to get higher, but they got him for 10 more years. So we'll talk a little about that. We want to talk more. We talked about this yesterday. LeBron James, whenever he says anything, it makes for news. But LeBron, fearful of having to be in this play-in tournament. Now, the Lakers did win without him last night. And right now, the season ended now, they would not be in the play-in because they'd be in the fifth spot in the West. But he made the comment that whoever came up with this idea, he used an expletive, for this play-in should be fired. Been a lot of pushback to that. A lot of people writing that, you know, LeBron's wrong. I actually agree with him. We talked a little about it yesterday. We'll talk about it again today. But, you know, in terms of the NFL, we're into May now. Now, the NFL does not have a lot of slow periods. We know that as soon as the Super Bowl ends, the NFL has it structured where there's always something to talk about in the offseason, whether it be the free agency, the combine, you get some rules changes, owners meetings, and obviously the draft. May is supposed to be quiet. June's quiet. First half of July is quiet. Well, it's not quiet now because we could have the MVP of the league switching teams, which would be unprecedented. We got a guest on this morning who covers the Packers. Why might Aaron Rodgers get traded? We'll talk about it coming up. Good to have you with us. It's Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stashower in for Tony again this morning. And our guest this morning, next hour, will be a guy who does a Packers podcast. So that's for obvious reasons. So there'll be a lot to get to with him because as I break it down, I got three big questions regarding this Aaron Rodgers situation. And first and foremost, okay, he's disgruntled. We talked about this yesterday that Adam Schefter did the tweet last Thursday and it was his call, I imagine, unless it was a direct quote, whether he could have gone upset or angry or pissed off. Disgruntled was the word he used. So why is he disgruntled? Is this really because the Packers a year ago traded up to draft Jordan Love? Because if that's the reason, it's ridiculous. Jordan Love didn't play last year. He sat on the bench. Aaron Rodgers played last year. He's going to play this year. He's going to play presumably for maybe who knows how much longer. It's not like he took his job. You want to get traded. You want to leave the only team you've played for, a team that has, by the way, been to the playoffs 10 of the last 12 years, just played for the NFC Championship. You've got Devontae Adams, one of the best wide receivers in the game. They got a good defense. You want to get traded just because they drafted Jordan Love? That is insane. If that's the only reason, there's got to be more to it than that. You know, we had a guest on yesterday who compared the Aaron Rodgers situation to Carson Palmer several years ago. Carson Palmer was upset in Cincinnati. He actually took a year off before he resurfaced with the Raiders, or was that Arizona, and then the Raiders. I can't remember which was first, but I had to think about that for a while. I mean, first of all, Carson Palmer is not Aaron Rodgers. Carson Palmer is not in the Hall of Fame. He never won a Super Bowl. I mean, there's no comparison, really. Carson Palmer was a good quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great quarterback. And Carson Palmer was upset because he was in Cincinnati, where they were terrible. They have a terrible team. They have no history. They've never won a Super Bowl. They got a terrible owner. That's not the situation for Rodgers in Green Bay. So I didn't quite see that comparison. I don't understand the disgruntlement. And if the Packers do try to trade him for fear that they're going to be stuck either with an unhappy quarterback or that he's going to retire, it's hard. That's the second question. What would be the landing spots? I mean, a couple of teams that have surfaced, of the Denver Broncos. Now, the Broncos, I thought, might look for a quarterback in the draft. They didn't. They say they're going to put the job up for grabs between Drew Locke, who, you know, they liked after his rookie season, not so much after last year, and they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, who, let's face it, is a journeyman. Those aren't necessarily great options. Aaron Rodgers is certainly a better one. But does Rodgers want to go to Denver? I mean, Denver won the Super Bowl 5 years ago. They haven't been over 500 since then. Las Vegas? People think, oh, well, you want to go to Las Vegas? Maybe a fun city to hang out in. I don't know. But the Raiders haven't won a playoff game in almost 20 years. You know, the one team that makes some sense to me is Washington, because I thought they would be looking for a quarterback in the draft, and they didn't. And they got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's, 100 years old. They can move him out, and, you know, they don't really have anything else yet. So that would, you know, that would really create some interest in Washington, where they did win a bad division, but they did win it. They do have a good defense. They don't have great weapons. I mean, again, I don't know why Rodgers would prefer going to Washington than being in Green Bay, but that was one team that came to mind. But anyway, we'll try and find out later this morning about possible landing spots. And the other question regarding Aaron Rodgers is, what if the Packers say, we can't trade you? You know, everybody's got their quarterback. Everybody's got their salary cap in place. You know, if you would come to, if this was in February, maybe we could have done something, but we're in May right now. You know, we got training camp in a couple of months. This is not the time to just completely wreck our team and our salary cap and all that. There's no teams out there. We can't trade you. So you either play with us, we'll give you the $25 million, and we'll try and go win a Super Bowl, which we had a good chance of doing last year, or that's it. We'll play Jordan Love, and you can go retire and be a game show host. And, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, if those are the choices presented to Aaron Rodgers. I would think the answer would be, screw being a game show host. I can do that anytime for the rest of my life. I still got some time left here to be a quarterback. I'm the MVP of the league. I'm going to come back and play. I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer or not. I mean, somebody asked me yesterday, you know, like, well, think about challenges. And sometimes you choose a profession that will present some kind of a challenge. Being a starting quarterback in the NFL, now that's a challenging job. You got 300-pound guys chasing after you, wanting to knock your head off. You go back to pass. You've got a split second to make a decision on who to throw to, where to throw. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the best, if not the best ever, at making those split second decisions. I mean, that's one of the things that just amazes me continually about Rodgers, is his decision making and always putting the ball in the right spot at the right time. That's a challenging job. I'm sorry. Hosting Jeopardy is not that hard. Ron, you could host Jeopardy. They give you the cards. They give you the answers. You read them. You say whether the guy's right or wrong. You tell him, you have control of the board. Is that hard? Is that challenging?
What is not impossible? Oh, wait, that was what the contestant would say. Sorry.
And make sure that it's in a question form. You got to do that. Sometimes you have to, you know, go to the judges and, you know, whether they're going to allow. I mean, it's not that, you know, it's a game show host.
Right. The only challenging part would be having that snarky attitude that Alex Trebek had.
Yeah. Well, that's hard to come by. That would be a challenge.
And I wouldn't try to pull it off, because you can't be, whoever it is, can't be the next Alex Trebek.
Yeah, we. You made a good point. It's like replacing John Wood. It's
you
like,
can't do
forget
it.
So I again, if it comes down now, look, we know NFL players, they take a beating. A lot of them have struggled in life, in their life after football, head injuries, concussions, dementia, all that. If Aaron Rodgers has those kinds of concerns, that's totally understandable. And if that, you know, he's not, he's at an age where at least in previous years, guys would be, if not thinking about retiring. So if he, if that's a, the issue, that's different. But I don't get the feeling that that's where Aaron Rodgers' head at. I mean, I think he has said before that he wants to be like a Brady and a Breeze and play into his 40s. He's certainly playing at that level. So I don't think that would be the reason for retirement. If it comes down to that, if the Packers come to him and say, look, we can't trade you. There's just nothing out there that we can do. The choice is yours. Come back and play. We will try to appease you and make you happy as best we can. You know, all that. We'll roll out the red carpet for you, do anything you want. But you can either play for us or your other choice is to retire. What do you think he's going to do? I don't know. I think he's going to play.
I think he's going to play too. But I mean, could we put it past him for sitting out a few games? Or I don't know.
A few games?
I don't even see that happening either. Yeah, I guess at this point he needs to be all or nothing. And what will happen is probably, say, right around the start of training camp, we'll hear the report of, oh, you know, he and the front office made amends and, you know, they're gonna work together moving forward.
Remember the quote he had? The Packers had gotten off to a slow start 1 year and everybody was all crazy and he said, relax. What did he do? Yep. I think he spelled it out. R-E-L-A-X. So, you know, maybe this is just a relaxed situation, but it doesn't sound like it. You know, there's something to this story. This is your first instinct is like, oh, come on, that's silly. He's not going anywhere. It's definitely out there. The disgruntlement is real. We still don't really know the reasons. You know, a lot of people have called him out for this, leaking the story maybe when he did, and not being transparent. That's the word everybody uses right now. You know, like, if you really feel this way, go do a sit-down interview with someone and let's get the whole story here. What's the reason behind this? What's the cause? Is this irreparable? You know, answer these questions. You want to get traded? Where do you want to go? You want to do Jeopardy? Well, which would you rather do? Be retired? Do Jeopardy? You know, let's get it out there. Instead, we're left kind of wondering, scratching our head a little bit. So we'll try and get some answers this morning. We'll get a guest on next hour who does a Packers podcast. We'll get to some NBA talk. We had some games last night. We're winding down the regular season. Steph Curry had a big game. Russell Westbrook had a ridiculously good game. And there's a guy who moved up the all-time scoring list. He's in a place that I think a lot of people don't realize he's at right now. Some NBA talk straight ahead. I'm John Stashower at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stashower in for Tony. Ron is here. I got a question for you, Ron.
And fire away.
We do not, full disclosure here, it's not like we have lengthy pre-show meetings, right? I mean,
right.
Next time I meet Ron, we'll be like, who are you? We haven't met personally, although we've done a lot of shows together. Anyway, best point guards of all time. Who comes to mind?
Well, the first one always comes to mind is Magic.
Sure.
That's okay. A no-brainer.
Who would be number two?
God, that's a tough one. Because I feel like I need to go old school, but...
Like Bob Cousy?
Well, no, not that far old school. I feel like it'd be improper to say somebody like Steph Curry.
Well, I don't think it would be improper. I mean, he's a tough,
You know what it is?
I don't know if he's the traditional point guard like a Magic was, but
yeah.
You know, yeah.
I mean, he feels more like a shooting guard in a point guard role.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is last night, Washington beat Indiana. The score of this game was 154 to 141.
Yeah, a lot of defense.
Welcome to the NBA of 2021.
Sounds like an all-star game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So Scott Brooks is the coach of the Wizards. He was also the coach in Oklahoma City, so he knows Russell Westbrook pretty well. He had him in his MVP season in OKC, and he's got him again in Washington. Russell Westbrook last night had a triple-double. Now, that's not anything new. He's had 178 triple-doubles. He's three behind Oscar Robertson for the record for most triple-doubles in NBA history. But, you know, there are triple-doubles, and then there are what he did last night. He had 21 rebounds and 24 assists. Now, that's a stat line. If you do NBA fantasy, you got Russell Westbrook, you're pretty happy today. The only other player in NBA history with a stat line like that is Wilt Chamberlain, who did it twice. So Scott Brooks, after the game, said Russell Westbrook is the second best point guard in NBA history. He conceded Magic is number one. He says Westbrook's number two. So that would put him ahead of, you mentioned Steph Curry. You could talk about Chris Paul. You could talk about John Stockton. You could talk about Isaiah Thomas. Look, Westbrook has been kind of a controversial, polarizing figure for a long time in the NBA. The talent is undeniable. I mean, you don't find guys walking down the street. What is he, 6'3"? He's not even a tall point guard. Like Magic was 6'8". This guy's getting 21 rebounds and 24 assists. It's insane. But, you know, there's always been the controversy with Westbrook and sometimes the turnovers and sometimes the questionable shot selection. I mean, look, I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been an MVP. He did get OKC to the finals once. But sometimes his teams have fallen short in the playoffs. He's, you know, he was the second banana in OKC with Durant. You know, it's been a kind of up and down career. But I don't know. Second best all time? Scott Brooks is. Yeah, I mean, Scott Brooks is a little biased. He's been his coach and he's his coach again. But
yeah, that's what makes it weird, right? I mean, if you were just to look on a piece of paper, you could say, yeah, definitely. But then when you, like, I guess expand his stats, maybe it's, you know, the amount of teams that he's played for, because a lot of the guys you're mentioning, you know, we picture him just with one team. Chris Paul. Yeah, I'm saying Chris Paul being the outlier there. Right. And, I mean, that's part of, I guess, the lore of Russell Westbrook, because wherever he's gone, there's also been a little bit of controversy involved. Like, you know, when he was with the Thunder, when he was with the Rockets, there seems to be, like, this air of, you know, is he a disgruntled player? You know, other players don't get along with him. But the truth of the matter is, and you're absolutely right, guy performs night after night. He gives it, he empties the tank every single night.
Right. The effort is always there.
Yeah.
The motor is always running. There's no question. Now, he can be, like, confounding, though. There's no question. If you're a fan of his team, he's going to do things during the course of the game. You're like, oh, come on, what are you doing? But you live with that, I guess. Now, his team's, look, Washington is going to be, well, are you a playoff team if you're a play-in team? Because they're going to be a play-in team. They're going to be in one of those spots. And so if you're Washington, you're usually not even that good. So you got to give him some credit. But, you know, he hasn't won a championship. You know, there was the hope that maybe in Houston, that didn't really pan out. Okay, see, obviously once Durant left, they weren't going to be a championship team. So you can't really fault him there. I mean, he's had an unbelievable career, by and large. Second all-time, I just think of Stockton. It's such the perfect, pure point guard, like, you know, with the steals and assists. And the decision-making that Stockton had, I think I'd have to put him ahead of Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant by, you know, that's why I said it feels kind of weird putting any of these new guys in there.
Yeah,
just because that's really where it is. I mean, you and I grew up in a generation
Stockton
where
Stockton had the short shorts,
right?
So then,
I mean,
you know,
we grew up with
school,
the short shorts. I mean, we grew up in an era where, you know, basketball was a little bit different. Point guards didn't necessarily score all the points, but they were the ones who, you know,
dished.
They were the ones who dished it out. They were the ones who brought up the ball all the time,
sure.
And that's what made Magic Johnson so weird, because here's a guy who was 6'8", I mean, taller than your normal point guards. And, you know, but, I mean, just able to deal the ball as well as get his points.
No, I mean, it's amazing to think. It's over 40 years ago. But when Magic was a rookie, well, you know this, you're a Laker fan. Remember, Kareem got hurt in the finals, and Magic played center.
Yeah.
And scored, like, 42 points as a rookie in the NBA finals. So, yeah.
Man, I mean, Here's a quick little list, right? They got Magic, Oscar Robertson, Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton, Steve Nash, Bob Cousy,
Nash
Jason
is a
Kidd.
Good one. Yeah, Nash is a good one.
And forget about Kidd. Jason Kidd all the time, too.
Yeah, Kidd also. Absolutely. All right, speaking of Steph, he's been, on this scoring tear. He had 41 last night.
Trying to get the MVP.
Well, you know, making a case, you know, leading the league in scoring, and his team is – there's another team. Do you call them a playoff team or a play-in team? Do they pop champagne when they clinch the play-in? I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But the Warriors get a win in New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is not going to make the playoff or the play-in. I love Stan Van Gundy. I used to do like a regular hit with him, like a weekly hit. And he's great on the radio and on TV. He's smart. He's funny. Does he deserve a hit here? You know, he won games and he got to finals in Orlando and Miami. Did well. Detroit, it didn't go well. A lot of people lose in Detroit. He's got Zion. Should New Orleans be better than this with Zion? I'm surprised that New Orleans has floundered this season.
I'm not ready. Zion is still a young player. He's still trying to find his feet in this league. And this would probably be his first complete season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year, he was hurt a lot. And
yeah, so. I mean,
I understand. What is it? Was he 20 years old?
I'm not ready to jump all in on like.
But he's been great. I mean, he's been great.
Yes. Yeah. And that team is, but it's a young team, and I think that team's going to grow a little bit more.
All right. So the Warriors get the win. Those two are actually going to play again tonight. The Sixers win. There's a good race in the East. The Sixers are 44-21. The Nets are 43-22, and the Bucks, who've been playing well, are 40-24. The Nets and Bucks had a great game Sunday, where Giannis scored 49 and Durant scored 42, and they're going to play again tonight in Milwaukee. And that's, you know, one of those three teams is going to come out of the East, and they're all bunched together, so that's a good race. And, you know, you finish first, you don't have to play the other teams, you know, until the finals, and you get home court throughout. Sixers are really good at home. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. The other thing last night, well, a couple of things. Portland actually lost a game in Atlanta. Does it surprise you to hear that Carmelo Anthony is now the 10th leading scorer in NBA history? Somebody asked you, like, where do you think Carmelo is on the list? Would you say top 10?
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, it is surprising, but then you have to think about, okay, well, how long has he been in the league for? And that's one of those things where he's just been in the league forever.
Oh, no question. And he takes a lot of shots.
Yeah.
You know, when you take a lot of shots, you can score a lot of points.
He was on some really bad teams where he was the offense.
He moved past Elvin Hayes. So here's your list. You got Kareem, you got Karl Malone, you got LeBron, who is 3,000 away. So he has a chance. LeBron says he wants to keep playing until his son can play with him. So he's going to be around a while. Obviously missed a lot of games this year, so that sets him back. I think LeBron will maybe be able to pass Kareem. Kobe is fourth. Michael's fifth. I mean, there's Michael sitting there. Like, you think he's probably not happy, but that might be a time for another documentary. Michael's only fifth all time. Dirk, Wilt. Wilt scored 50 points, averaged 50 points a game one season.
Yeah.
He is seventh. Shaq is eighth. Moses Malone is ninth. And now Carmelo moving past Elvin Hayes into 10th all time in scoring. So LeBron had the ankle injury, came back. They lost at home to Toronto. He's clearly not 100%. He sat out last night. They won without him. They beat a good team in Denver. So they're fifth right now. So if the season ended now, they would not be in this play-in. But remember what he said the other night about the play-in. Whoever came up with that blank idea should be fired. A lot of people pushing back. I'm with LeBron. We talked about it yesterday. The play-in, there's no need for this play-in. I don't get it. You finished 10th. In your conference, you know what it's time to do? Go play golf. All right, you don't deserve to keep playing when you finish 10th in your conference, but the 7 will play the 8, and the loser will play the winner between the 9 and 10, and then we'll move on to the NBA playoffs. We'll move on. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. I'm John Stashower, Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony's off. I'm John Stashower. Good to be with you on this Tuesday morning, Sports Map Radio. So we were together, Ron Culver and I, yesterday. We obviously talked a lot about the NFL draft. Well, there's like 259 players, I think, were drafted. So it's not like we went through every draft pick. Didn't assign grades to every draft pick. But one pick out of the 259 is making some news now. The Tennessee Titans, in the fourth round, drafted Rashard Weaver, linebacker from Pittsburgh. This guy was an All-American at Pitt. So, you know, he was expected to get drafted somewhere, and he got drafted in the fourth round. 2 weeks ago, there was a criminal complaint against him and a charge of Weaver assaulting a woman. Police found a woman, this was in Pittsburgh, lying face down. She'd suffered a concussion, and there was a witness that saw Weaver hit the woman. Now, there's apparently maybe some conflicting witnesses who say that didn't happen. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. The Titans say they didn't know anything about this. So, Ron, this begs a couple of questions. One, you know, you got your list of everybody who's a possible candidate to get drafted. This happened, you know, admittedly, fairly recently, but this wasn't like the night before. It was 2 weeks ago. Shouldn't everybody know about something like this? And let's say, just for the sake of argument, let's say for the sake of argument that you did know about it, would you go ahead and draft a guy with something like that had just happened?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it begs, you know, we don't know exactly what happened. I understand all that. But at least one witness said they saw him hit her. That would be, for me, that would be enough. Like, okay, there's other linebackers we can take.
Yeah, but we know how the NFL operates. You got skill, you're going to play.
Well, I think the tide is changing a bit, don't you think? I mean, we used to, I remember the days when, you know, the stories would come across about an NFL player beating up their wife, beating up their girlfriend. You were like blasé to it, like, okay, well, that happens every day. I think things have changed a little bit.
I have reservations about that. I'm hoping it's getting that way. I mean, ever since the Ray Rice video came out, it's kind of been trending that way. But then we still have players, you know, take Greg Hardy, for example. I mean, so much against him. I mean, he finally, I guess, in a way, was chased out of the league. But, I mean, if he was still in peak performance, at peak level, I think he'd be on a roster right now.
The Cowboys brought him in. Remember, he had like weapons in his bed? Or like
He threw his girl on a pile of guns.
I hate to laugh. I don't know. It's like, you can't make this stuff up. But yeah, I think Jerry Jones like made him a captain or something. I mean, he was like, Jerry Jones was like, he's going to provide leadership. Yeah. Then he became like a MMA guy, I think.
Yeah. I'll look at like another recent example, which was Antonio Brown. You know, there's so many different things, so many issues going on with him, and the guy just won a Super Bowl ring.
And in fairness to him, apparently behaved in Tampa Bay, you know, a model citizen. I don't know, but
yeah,
stayed out of business. I'm not saying that your career should be over. I'm not saying that Rashard Weaver should never get a chance to play in the NFL because at this point, we don't know exactly what happened that night 2 weeks ago. But you'd have to think if you knew about it, if you're an NFL team and you knew about it, there's no way you'd draft him in the fourth round. Now, you want to wait and see what develops out of the story and maybe he's cleared and then you give him a chance as an undrafted free agent. That's fine. I'm not saying the guy can never make a living. But now they say they didn't know about it. And that begs the question, how do they not know? I thought these teams do all this background research.
That's why I cannot remember his name, and I would butcher it anyways, but the linebacker for the Cleveland Browns selected, who I think they got in the second round.
Name escapes me. Right?
You know, had a heart condition, and that's why he dropped. But Cleveland, I guess, had their medical team look him over and said,
the guy from Notre Dame?
The name. I would butcher the name even if I knew
I had no shot at the name, but I know who you're talking about.
I know there's a hyphen. How about that?
A couple of hyphens, yeah. No, he's a really talented
kid.
He's
a really talented kid, but that's why he didn't go in the first round, was because, you know, all the teams knew he had a heart issue. And that almost was a red flag for him. So, I mean, if they know all that, why wouldn't they know, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. They do background checks on all these guys because they've got to protect their logo, their brand.
One guy that came to mind for me was DeAndre Baker, being a Giants fan. The Giants drafted DeAndre Baker, the cornerback from Georgia, in the first round. He played as a rookie. And the Giants, Dave Gettleman had made it a point to say that, you know, we're character is important to us and all that. And then he gets charged with armed robbery. He and another player, a guy from Seattle, I can't remember his name. But so, you know, everyone's like, what are you doing drafting a guy who's, you know, armed robbery? Now, the charges were dropped, and there was, again, we're not there. We don't know exactly what happened. It's always murky. Giants cut ties with him, even though he was a first-round pick. But Kansas City did pick him up. I don't know if he played for them last year, but I think he's still on Kansas City. So, you know, if you limit, there's a little expression, like if you limit yourself to choir boys, you're not going to have a very good NFL team. You know, there's a lot of guys out there with some, you know, evidence, some examples of some questionable behavior. You gotta be smart here, though. When the guy just had this kind of an incident 2 weeks ago, that leads me to think that it would be time to stay away from him. So we'll see what happens with Rashard Weaver. Fourth round pick of the Titans 2 weeks after a criminal complaint of assaulting a woman. Now, here's an interesting story to me, Ron, because, you know, normally teammates support their teammates even when they get in trouble. I mean, you had guys supporting Aaron Hernandez. Remember the Pouncey twins who were his teammates in Florida? They were like, you know, we believe in Aaron Hernandez. He was a murderer. So Syracuse, which is my school, had their top scorer on the lacrosse team, and Syracuse lacrosse, but probably know that's a big deal. This guy named Chris Scanlon. And he is alleged to have committed domestic violence. It was actually after a game against North Carolina. There's been no charges yet, but the district attorney is investigating. So he sat out one game, but then he was reinstated by the coach, John Desco. They were big games down the end of the regular season, and they're on the bubble for making the NCAAs. Scanlon's teammates, including the captains of the team, threatened to quit the team if they allowed him to play, if they brought him back on the team. So they're not supporting their teammate. They're saying maybe they have inside information as to what exactly happened, because that's probably often the case where teammates would know better than anyone else what really happened. And they're like, you're putting him back on the team? We don't want to play. How about that? Does that surprise you?
Yeah. It does a little bit.
I mean, it used to be like, you know, whatever happens in the locker room, we stick together, all that. I mean, I'm proud. I'm proud of my alma mater here.
Yeah. Change of the tide. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah. I mean, and the coach, you know, he's put him back on the team. And there's a coach that, you know, I don't know if his job is in jeopardy, but they've had some down seasons. You know, they're traditional power. They've been down a little bit. So here they're getting down the season, and they put him back on the team. And now he's off the team because there was going to be a mutiny among his teammates. John Stashower in for Tony D. Ron Culver alongside. It is Sports Map Radio on a Tuesday morning. In about an hour from now, we're going to go to Green Bay to talk a little more about this Aaron Rodgers situation, which we discussed earlier in this opening hour. Do you have any? One thing I'll try and find out. I mean, we're into May. I mean, is there going to be some kind of a time frame on this Aaron Rodgers story? Is this going to be a drop dead date? We're like, okay, we got who's our quarterback? You know,
well, that's why I say by training camp it'll be done. Well, I think by the time, I mean, I think the dust will settle. I think it'll happen kind of the same way as Russell Wilson's trade demand occurred. You know, just almost as if putting feelers out there.
This, don't you think this is farther along than
definitely. Yeah. I think there's more merit to this complaint.
There's
than
more meat on the bone,
right? Than whatever Wilson was upset with, and I think Wilson's upsetness came mainly from Ciara not wanting to be in Seattle anymore. But that's just me.
Well, that's a, there's always that,
you know. Now, but it's, I think it's on par, on the same level of what Deshaun Watson, his disgruntledness with the Texans, you know, with that being.
Well, that was real. There's no question that was real, and that, you know, but I think it, I mean, it would have been interesting to know how that ever turned out. And then we found out about 25 masseuses, and that just changed the whole narrative of the story.
Right, but I think it's along that level where your star quarterback, your franchise guy, the guy you know essentially is the leader of your team. You're not including him on any conversations at all. I mean, he's giving you input. He's saying, this is what I think we should have. This is what I need. And they're like, what does Aaron Rodgers know? We'll just draft another defensive player or this guy or that guy. And, you know, like it was said yesterday, I mean, I almost feel like the Packers took Aaron Rodgers for granted, and Aaron Rodgers went out on a revenge tour last year and said, I'll show you the kind of quarterback I am still today. And he went out and had an MVP season.
But as I said, like, you can be pissed off that they did this stupid drafting of a guy that they didn't need, but it's a reason to then want to get traded when the guy is, it's not like he took your job. You're still playing, and you're not in any danger of not being the guy that's still playing. So there's got to be more to it than that. You know, you mentioned Russell Wilson's wife not liking it in Seattle. Rodgers is engaged to an actress. Apparently they're hanging out in L.A., Green Bay is not, you don't get a lot of acting gigs in Green Bay, but, you know, I don't think she has to necessarily spend. Does Giselle, is she always in New England or now in Tampa? I think, I don't know where she hangs out, but I think some of these, the wife doesn't have to be necessarily in the home of the guy who's playing in the NFL, the NFL city, right? These guys, they got multiple homes.
Yeah,
Brady's got a home right near where I live. I don't know when he's ever there. In Connecticut, he's got a home.
For today, I don't think it really matters where you live. You can, you know, these guys make enough money. They can jump on a private plane and be anywhere they want.
They do.
Yep.
So, you know, Green Bay may not be the most hopping town, but Roger's been there a long time. You know, he's been there since.
He knows the ins and outs. See, this might be a situation, and it could be the Tom Brady factor. Which is Tom Brady, I mean, he didn't demand a trade. He was an unrestricted free agent, but he decided to take his talents elsewhere and immediately found success. And he went to a place where he did have input. He did have say in how the team was going to be constructed.
Yeah,
but and I think that feeling is kind of rubbing off on some people, like, you know, why does Tom Brady get to do this? Why can't
I? You made a key distinction there. He was an unrestricted free agent.
Exactly.
You have that right.
It's not the fact that he changed teams. It's the fact that he went to a team where he has influence on decision making.
Oh, you mentioned Antonio Brown. He's not in Tampa Bay if Brady doesn't. Vouch for him.
Sniffed at it. If Brady stays with Patriots, Antonio Brown is out of a league and never to return.
We are out of time, and we got more to do. Stay with us on this Tuesday morning, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Josh Dash Hour in for Tony. NBA playoffs starting in a couple weeks. You know, I'm looking at the standings. This is going to be interesting because usually we get kind of the same old characters. Top four teams in the West right now. Utah, Phoenix, Denver, LA Clippers. Total number of NBA championships won by those four teams, zero. Jazz been to the finals a couple times, lost to Michael, Phoenix a couple times, Denver never, Clippers never. Then you look at the East. Top three teams, clearly the top three. Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Sixers, number of championships won. One. 1983. Milwaukee, number of NBA championships won. One. 1971. 50 years ago with Lou Alcindor. I don't think he had even changed his name yet. And the Nets' number of NBA championships won, none. So the top seven contenders, really, to win the NBA championship. If you, and I mean, I understand LeBron and he's been injured and we don't know about that. But let's just take the Lakers out for a second. From simply a one-loss record, top seven one-loss records right now. Utah, Phoenix, Denver, LA Clippers, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. No NBA champ, two total NBA championships among seven teams, and the most recent one was 1983, and the only other one was 50 years ago. I mean, I would think Adam Silver's happy about that. You know, fresh blood. And the other thing that they got to be happy about are the Knicks. Even LeBron weighed in on this. And, you know, the fact that the Knicks are relevant. Knicks won again last night. They've won 12 of their last 13. They got the same record as the Lakers. Raise your hand if you thought the Knicks and the Lakers would have the same record with 2 weeks ago. Knicks were the worst team in the league 2 years ago. Won 17 games. They've won 37. They're sure to finish over 500. They're not even just winning the playoffs. I mean, they're going to miss the play-in. Tom Thibodeau has done an amazing job. Derrick Rose, MVP of the league 10 years ago, and then like a journeyman, bouncing around, injured. He's been terrific. So something to look forward to in the NBA playoffs with new teams, perhaps new champions, unless LeBron and the Lakers turn things around. All right, another hour to go. Stay with us on this Tuesday morning. John Stash Hour in for Tony D. Ron Culver along as well. Good to have you with us, Sports Map Radio.